became really important for advertisers to set up the right media mix and social media mix and the right KPI mix also, because defining one single KPI and following only that KPI will not help them achieve a business goal in this extremely complicated user journey context.
Inflation rates is really high, recession is coming, and the business environment is really volatile. In terms of the marketing strategy that I see, with good ROAS last year, may not be generating the good results during the recession anymore. Because we have learned from the previous recession that the evolving technology can cause a change in users' behavior, be it whether it's a choice of goods or whether it's a channel to buy.
This podcast is brought to you by Alike Audience, the premier audience targeting company with high-performing mobile audience segments. And every month, we spotlight leading executives, CEOs, and marketers from industry-leading companies. I'm your host today, Jessica from The Brand Creatives, a marketer and copywriter who helps tech companies grow with authority content. If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe or visit our website.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Alike Audience podcast.
I'm delighted today to invite Sophie Ohm, the founder and CEO of Adro, a marketing dashboard software for real-time reporting and ad optimization. And together with Alike Audience CSO Elise Lau, we're going to discuss the wave of recession and changes hitting enterprises today and how we can agilely adapt our marketing strategies to face these challenges. Okay, so let's jump right in. Let's start first with Sophie's background. Can you share a little bit more about what you do for businesses and your work?
Sure. I'm Sophie. I run Adro. Adro is a marketing dashboard ad ops startup. I've been running Adro for about almost 5 years, and it's my second startup. I founded my first startup, which was not really related to marketing, but it was also about data, and it was called Solidware. And it was in 2014 that I founded this company. I sold it 7 months after it was founded. I was lucky. And while I was working as a CEO during that time, I realized that there are a lot of things that I could contribute in the marketing industry, because there are many players, a lot of initiatives, but I couldn't really see one dominant player who could provide kind of a monitoring system, like a media war room type of system. And I was surprised that it did not really exist. So that's how we came up with Adro, a very simple to use, easy to use marketing dashboard, but still provides very extensive range of data. So Adro has about 75 people now. We're based in Silicon Valley, Austin, Texas, and also South Korea. We have clients like H&M, Samsung, Cirque du Soleil, Fairhaven. All these are some clients that I can name.
Could you share some expertise on how has marketing changed in 2022? And what are your thoughts around these changes marketers face?
Sure. A lot of changes, a lot of big trends. First one, well, as everyone knows, Apple's determination to strengthen their privacy policy, and therefore they deprecated IDFA, identifier for advertisers. And that announcement shook up the multi-billion digital advertising industry, as marketers lost access to a rich set of click streams and granular data on customer profiles. So before that trend with Facebook Pixel or Google Ads, Google Analytics, the identifiers of profitable customers could be mapped against the billions of users on these major platforms. But now that retargeting has been made infinitely harder, it's become super important on the other side for advertisers to double down on attracting new users across many different channels, while retaining and engaging existing ones. So before it was Facebook, Google, Facebook now, Meta and Google duopoly. But now advertisers realize that it's extremely important to invest in multi-channels. So over the last year, many new ad channels emerged. And we see a lot of advertisers actually switch their ad spend from Meta and Google, those two giants, towards others like Amazon advertising. It's growing huge. Walmart advertising, all consumer product advertisers use those two marketplaces advertising platform, Twitch, etc. And also some programmatic DSPs like the Trade Desk. It's used by all advertisers. So I've never seen any client who's using just two or three, a couple channels, even like small businesses who spend less than 50K per month, they would typically on average utilize at least 5-6 different channels. So that's one big trend that I've seen over the last year. Another big trend that we see is that the user journey, the customer journey across different digital platforms and social media has become extremely complicated as all people use multiple apps and media and content platforms, not just a couple. So it became really important for advertisers to set up the right media mix and social media mix and the right KPI mix also, because defining one single KPI and following only that KPI will not help them achieve the business goal in this extremely complicated user journey context. So those are some big important trends that I've seen with real cases.
That's really interesting. And Elise, from your standpoint as an audience segmentation provider, do you agree with what Sophie saw in the past year? Or do you have other insights to add?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I've seen this trend since not only 2022, but 2 years before. Of course, tech giants remain the key platforms for digital advertising at the moment. While at Alike Audience, we sense the momentum of advertisers' shifts of budget into new emerging channels, particularly in this year. Comparing to the survey results that we collected from over 100 companies who are primarily the agency's heads and brand heads out of the States in early 2021, where less than 10% of the respondents would explore new channels for digital advertising with the demise of cookies. And this year, the advertisers started to test and learn in multiple platforms. Like what Sophie has mentioned, I've seen momentums on e-commerce platforms like Amazon, eBay, Walmart, and even Kroger. They are developing their own platform. CTV channels, SSP, DSP, and their marketplaces. So there are many channels are available and marketers are yet to consolidate. And I see this is the period of time. And ESG is also a hot topic in 2022 in ad tech industry. And in our industry, we have been steering towards ESG conscious. As we all know, the complex supply chains of data centers that power all the data computation necessary for ad tech, and all the online activity makes up around 4% of the world's global emissions. So to help everyone visualize better, an ad impression generates about a gram of carbon, meaning a million impressions create a metric ton, which is equivalent to a round-trip flight from New York to London. So a few acts of some companies, like one of our partners, the Trade Desk, saved around 5,000 tons of CO2 after pulling out of Google's open bidding in February when their open path was launched. So in a nutshell, we see changes and we also see a lot of opportunities in the ad tech ecosystem in 2022.
That's really interesting. So it sounds like advertisers are moving to different channels. They're no longer relying on the same two or three platforms, and that not only setting up the right KPI mix is important, but also that we need to be more eco-conscious about generating ad impressions. So what is your take from both of you on whether this is a time of difficulty for enterprises because of the recession, or is this really a time of opportunities?
It is definitely a difficult time, not just in the advertising industry, but in the whole economy in general. The war in Ukraine, rising inflation rates, tighter monetary policies, COVID outbreaks, and the impact of that outbreak is now being, you know, seen everywhere. Real estate crisis and other challenges confine global economic growth and ultimately threaten the advertising industry. The U.S. Treasury and other experts say that there's 50 to 80% chance that the recession will come in 2023, probably late next year or early the year after. And according to a Bloomberg Markets Live survey, approximately 48% of investors, like half of them, anticipate an economic slowdown by 2023. And startups, Adriel is a startup, and we also work for many startups. A lot of startups are already hit by this. And many of their valuation were cut less than half. And many failed to raise fund because of that. So they had to shut down. Really sad.
Yeah, I agree on that. What about for the tech industry, Elise?
Well, I believe global economy does impact every industry, and so does our industry. Inflation rates is really high, recession is coming, and the business environment is really volatile. In terms of the marketing strategy that I see, with good ROAS last year may not be generating the good results during the recession anymore. Because we have learned from the previous recession that the evolving technology can cause a change in users' behavior, be it whether it's a choice of goods or whether it's a channel to buy. Privacy concern, which is always a hot topic for us, will help shift the consumer behavior quicker in particular, have been also impacting advertisers, especially for the startup businesses or the small to medium business owners, where they used to rely on, you know, a couple of social media channels to acquire leads and customers, they will suffer even more. At statistics that I read from ShareThrough a while ago, actually only 41% of American consumers trust Facebook, and Twitter is at its bottom of the list at 33%. So recession is a must, budget is limited, options are tremendous. How enterprise could be agile and change their marketing strategy from time to time, that is a challenge.
Mm-hmm. So what is both your take on marketing strategies, especially because with the recession and economic growth slowing down, a lot of companies are laying off people, cutting down their ad budgets. Is marketing more important than ever, or is this something that we need to cut down on?
Great question. So so many people ask me whether they should cut their ad budget to survive the recession. They're laying off people, so should they keep spending on advertising? Well, I say the best way you look at this recession and this context is to try to learn how to prepare your business for a recession rather than just cutting your ad budget, cutting your investment in important things. I would say digital marketing is an investment that helps during good times and also tough times. It's a tough time, but you should look at digital marketing as more like an investment. So what should we do? I would say don't cut your marketing budget just like that. Many studies have consistently shown that brands that continue marketing in a recession, they're the most likely to survive. If you stop digital marketing, I think you should be prepared for your competitors to get your potential customers more easily. So those who make a consistent investment a wise investment, a calculated investment in digital marketing services will see the most benefit. So, of course, you need to optimize and spend wisely. Many people recommend having a major focus on search engine optimization and pay-per-click campaigns because SEO and PPC, they're the safest bet. It's a long-term investment, but it is the right thing to do to stay on potential customers' radar online. If you keep investing in SEO and PPC, prospects will find you and eventually become your clients when they are ready to convert. You should also set up the right data environment for your marketing, because spending your money in the most optimal and wise way basically means that you need to have the right data at the right time, because that's the only way you can be provided with insights and ideas for your next moves. So that's why today, later on, I'll talk about AdOps, because that's the way you set up the right data environment. And I'm going to talk about that later. And with the right data environment set up, you should be able to know your customer. Surprisingly, there's so many clients and advertisers who cannot really define concretely their dream customers. But building out a detailed customer persona is, of course, the first step to nailing down a multi-channel campaign. And without it, developing an effective communication strategy becomes a painful and expensive guessing game. So first-party data has become much more important these days, especially because cookieless era is coming soon. So data from your users' behaviors, your clients' behaviors, all the actions and interests demonstrated across your website or your apps, or data you have in your CRM system, subscription data, social data. Collecting all these and monitoring these are extremely important.
Yeah, so marketing is always important, regardless of recession, and actually more important so in this recession, because people are still spending. And whether they spend on your brand, depending on how you could eliminate your wastage and be wise on your spend of marketing budget to reach buying customers with the shortest distance. So to echo what Sophie said, data insight is very important because it's a step number one for you to profile a right customer segment to target. And consumer behavior matters. An article that I read from AdExchanger this week again, talks about how people's behavior are shifting away from social media. And as an example, when Facebook saw a drop of 1 million daily active users in their quarter four 2021 report, comparing to the previous quarter. And more so, consumers worldwide have planned to spend less time on social media in the next 6 months, and it accounts for about 21%. So one channel may not work, and multi-channel may work better. Options of emerging channels are growing, and having the right data set, setting clear marketing goals, identify and profile your customer well, study the channels, especially on the new emerging channels well, know their metrics KPI, and be bold to invest in the new alternative channels after testing. You will get the advantage of crunching the new algorithm of those new channels and stay ahead of your competitions with lean budget if you are one of the first movers. That's what I observed so far.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because it makes sense that you would be spending during a recession. If you're spending and your competitors are cutting, then you would probably overtake them eventually. And it's very interesting insights as well from both of you on coordinating a multi-channel strategy. So my next question perhaps is more for Sophie with AdOps, and maybe Elise, you can later share expertise on ads and targeting strategy. So, you know, to manage all these multi-channels and having the right data environment, what is AdOps and how will it help these enterprises face these new challenges we have?
So I'll probably first explain why we need the right measurement system, why we need AdOps system, why we need AdOps. I'll first talk about the context, if that's okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. So all the challenges that we mentioned before, one key solution that I can suggest is multi-content and multi-channel strategy. Targeting customers across multiple touch points became extremely important, especially because, as I said, user journey has become so complicated these days. No one stays or uses only one social media or one social channel. No one stays only on YouTube or only on Facebook, only on Instagram. Instead, what happens is that you watch YouTube at night and post your picture on Instagram, and you communicate with your friends on TikTok. And when you wear a hat as an employee and you want to talk bad about your employer, you got an app called Blind, for example. So there are so many social communities that people use when they want to act as a different player in their lives. So on average, the statistics that I've seen is that people use more than 3 social media channels, more than 2 e-commerce marketplaces, and more than 3 content or e-commerce communities. So focusing on one single ad channel just does not make sense at all these days. And it's the same for content. People react differently to different type of content, different type of key messages, different type of content, different type of image, video. I have one example. It's an example of our client, Arket. It's a brand under H&M Group, the fashion group. And they have been updating their ad content almost like every 2-3 days for about a year. Sometimes they use model images, sometimes product images, sometimes just a huge promotion intro text image. And of course, they use these content in many different channels. And they have been very like an adventurer of new media. They always want to try new emerging social community that just launched their ad platform. And it was actually a big success. And Arket was able to have the success because they adopted ad ops system. And ad ops basically includes marketing dashboard where you centralize all the data, which can help you monitor and optimize your multi-channel and also multi-content strategy. And it's not just a dashboard. It will provide insights. And it will provide the way you can act. You can take certain action, like moving your certain budget towards different channels, also change your bid strategy. So ad op system includes a dashboard where you can monitor, but also many different features that you can use in order to react to the changes and trends that you see on the dashboard.
Okay, so it sounds like part of ad ops is about being able to manage all these different multi-channels and having the right KPI mix and letting you take action on that. And that's one of the ways we can cope with the challenges. Is that right?
Yes, right. Yeah. Well, actually, when you Google ad ops, broadly speaking, it used to refer to processes that support the management and optimization of advertisements through different digital mediums, such as ad servers, networks, SSPs, and DMPs. But that's more like a loose definition. The way we define ad ops is more like it's like a process, and it's a system, and it's also a culture. It starts from the system where you can monitor everything that's going on, because as we said, it's extremely complicated context now that we see. So you need to have the right monitoring system, and you should be able to analyze the data that you see, and then you need to be able to react to the trend and changes you see eventually in order to optimize your marketing mix. And there's also some services included, like consulting, planning, creating, and running ads. So all these are all these form ad ops, and ad ops is basically a system and culture in an environment that can support the whole process that I just described. And it also helps collaboration between different teams that are in charge of all these different steps of the digital marketing process.
Wonderful. So let's get a little more granular. Maybe Elise, if you can share from your expertise on ads and targeting strategy when in the scope of ad ops, what would you recommend for marketers when it comes to adapting their strategies for advertising?
So my experience has been always in the past decade with data companies, which is part of the ad ops system. And I believe, and I really thank Sophie for sharing all the insights on the ad ops. And per my role and experience with my working clients on ad ops, usually it always includes three steps: profiling, targeting, and measurements. They all work hand in hand, and you need all of them. And of course, you know, if you are setting your number one step, that is the profiling of your customer through data and insights well, and your campaign cannot go too wrong. But how to profile your right audience matters. As an example, do you know how to profile your audiences for World Cup? How do you define your audience for Black Friday or Cyber Monday? And at Alike Audience, we work hand in hand together with our clients to profile and custom segments for them. Targeting, measurement, dashboards matters. I've seen one of the top agencies with big metrics table with a very comprehensive dashboard. And they have metrics highlighted in different colors for management to make decisions, as well as for operations to make decisions. So coming back to how to deal with the recession on the ads and targeting strategy, I would say, coming back to what I mentioned at the beginning, when there's a change, there is always an opportunity. And being flexible and being open-minded, maximize your opportunity by optimizing the budget and echoing what Sophie said, at right timing to right channel with the right content matters. For me, by reviewing the previous recession, I would suggest probably it would be wise to be flexible to allocate the annual budget. For example, as a retailer or a consumer brand, they may want to shift the budget significantly for seasonal campaigns, such as Black Fridays, Christmas, or China's Singles Day, if they have Chinese audiences. And keep studying the emerging channels. Mm-hmm. A few emerging channels which could be interesting: NBCU Shopper TV ad formats, which could target housewives for their conversion of Last Click by having the QR code scan for purchase right at the spot. Netflix as platform could be another interesting one. Horizon Media, Pubmatic, and other SSPs. DSPs, new solutions like TTD UID, e-commerce platforms like Amazon, Walmart, and more emerging platforms coming. So all in all, keep profiling your audience segments, know your campaign goals, and look for partners who are expertise to work with you closely. And they could be a consulting, they could be a subject matter of the ecosystem, all matters to you. And last but not least, be aware of the legal governance of the privacy law changes. Study the ad platforms and vet their data sources. Is the data source comply to your national privacy law? That would help you save a ton.
Okay, that's very interesting from both your sides, from the more overall ad management to the more granular profiling, targeting, and measurement. So let's talk a little bit about measurement. Measurement is quite an important thing because we need to obviously have that to be able to measure our success. So how should marketers set up these right measurement tools?
It sounds kind of obvious, but in order to measure something, you should first centralize data and standardize the analytics. And you can fully leverage automation in order to do that. So I would recommend an all-in-one tool that can provide a 360-degree view of cross-channel metrics, because it will help you navigate and visualize data, and it will eventually help adjust the marketing mix based on what worked and what didn't. So huge brands, even marketing gurus like Nike or Samsung Electronics, they're also actively looking for the right measurement tools and media mix optimizer. And Adriel provides AdOps, including marketing dashboard, where you can have all the centralized data visualization and media mix optimizer. And it can allow you to centralize all the data from different channels and optimize the marketing mix. And after you have that environment, KPIs and marketing analytics will help you determine which online marketing tactics gives the best results and which ones are underperforming. So a robust digital analytics setup also tells you, it's also important because it can tell you whether your site interactions effectively generate business for your brand. So for example, Google Analytics provides a good way of comparing different pages on your website to see how they support your conversion goals. And Google Analytics 4, GA4, is coming next year. So you should be prepared to upgrade the version and try to get used to GA4 because it's quite different from GA3. Mm-hmm. Other than analytics, search engine optimization tools are also recommended. It includes Google Search Console, Google Trends, SEMrush, Moz Pro. All these are kind of the suite of the right measurement tools. What's important is to your determination to collect actively user data, and for that, it's crucial that you invest in the right tool at the right time.
Absolutely. So it sounds like having these right tools and being able to centralize all the data will also help marketers deal with these challenges. Going back to what Elise was saying about testing all these new upcoming channels and having the data to support that and see what's working, what's not, that would kind of help them optimize their ad spend. Elise, would you have anything to add to Sophie's?
Yeah, with measurement, it's always been a hot topic as well because of the emerging channels for that enables advertisement, and hence there are a lot of solutions on measurements. I would say, first of all, we should look at our campaign goals. Say, for example, if your audiences are being targeted on connecting TV, say Netflix has just announced that they have appointed DoubleVerify as their measurement company. And I personally would suggest every company should do an A/B testing on the measurements by ideally having another third-party solutions with comprehensive dashboard. I've seen brands, they develop solutions in-house. However, channels are tremendous. The effort that being developed in-house can be, you know, wasted, or one day it is useful, but the next day it is already obsolete because we are not utilizing that channel anymore. So appointing a comprehensive third-party solution could be the way to save your budget during the recession while you are achieving your measurement goals at the same time.
Wonderful. So let's wrap up here. Thank you very much for sharing all your expertise. And it was really insightful to learn about all these different ways marketers can face with the new challenges in ad ops and in advertising campaigns today.
Thank you so much for listening. To find the show notes, transcripts, and more information about our audience segment offerings, log on to our website, www.alikeaudience.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit subscribe and leave us a review. We'll catch you in the next session.